Welcome to the Songwriter Connection, the podcast that delves deep into the art and heart of songwriting. Each week, we gather around the dining room table to uncover the stories behind the songs. We invite you to join us on a journey to the creative minds of the songwriters who shape the melodies of our lives. From Nashville, Tennessee, here's your host, Dave Lenihan.
Okay, so check it. This should be episode number 168. And it should be 8:14, the 14th of August that you're listening to this. But we're recording this in early June, and we just got done in Nashville. The big CMA Fest was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And our guest today is probably exhausted from all of that. But it's so good to finally get to meet Tori Martin. How are you, Tori?
Hey, I'm great. Yeah. How are you?
Man, I tell you, I'm looking through your list of accomplishments, and it's just amazing. I mean, you've done very well in the Texas charts. And as a matter of fact, you were nominated for the Best New Female Artist of the Texas Regional Radio Music Awards this year.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank
on that.
You.
Yeah. What was that show? Did it happen already?
Yeah, it did. It was in March, and it was at Texas Live in Arlington, Texas. Pretty cool venue.
Very neat. Now, on the cover of your Facebook page, you're on stage. Is that where you were at the time? Because it kind of looked like the Ryman to me.
Oh, that's funny. That was actually at Toyota Music Factory.
Ah.
I played there earlier this year. So.
Where's that?
It's in Irving, Texas.
Irving, Texas.
Texas is really big, y'all.
Well, it is, and we're going to talk a little Texas music today.
Yeah.
You've celebrated many songs on the charts there. You got one right now currently spinning on the charts. And you've been on Music Row charts, and you've even charted Billboard. So, I mean, you've done a lot. And I'm looking at this, too. Also, you represent the Miss Me clothing brand?
Yeah, Miss Me jeans.
A question I always ask, is there enough hours in the day for you?
Not really.
Not really? Well, it's good to meet you. You are
so nice to meet you.
An amazing artist, and we're going to talk songwriting today and how that affects what you do. And we also have Christy Manna, who's joined you today. Hi, Christy.
Hi, Dave.
Your show did so well when you were with us a couple months ago.
Well, it was you're easy to talk to.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you.
We'd still be talking if we didn't have to stop and like do something else.
It was good to meet you and Bill. And if you haven't heard that episode, please do. The story of Austin, which was amazing.
Thank you.
All the cool things Kirstie's doing. So you worked together for how long now, you two?
Oh, gosh, 4 years now?
4 years?
Yeah, like it feels longer. Yeah. I was like, wait a minute, 100.
We're really sick of each other. No,
we're together a lot.
In a way, it seems longer, but probably in a way, it seems just like a snap, right?
Yeah, 2019.
2019.
Yeah.
How long have you been here in Nashville?
I moved to Nashville in 2017.
17. And you're from Texas, but I know military brat, as you say, and you moved all around, but you lived a long time in Texas, though, right?
Yeah, majority of my life. I think that's why I call it home, because I've been everywhere, man. truly, lived in so many different states, but yeah. I ended up landing in Texas when I was 7, mm-hmm. and so I lived out there definitely the longest of my life. So I'm like, Texas is my home.
That's your home. And it's Azle, Texas?
Yeah, Azle, Texas.
And it's outside of Fort Worth. What is it, like northwest of Fort Worth? I'm trying to find a map. I'm trying to get more familiar with things.
But yes, yes.
Because you say correct. Texas is a big, it's its own country, basically.
It really is. It's vast.
Yeah.
So crazy.
But like, you loved there, and you loved it, loved growing up there?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Just so unique and different, and I have so much inspiration from growing up in a small town. Continually pulling from that well.
Yeah, I'll bet. There's a lot of songwriting material right there.
It's still inspiring me today.
And you started very young. Your grandpa owned a place, your papa, I should say, and you used to sing in there? Tell us about that.
Yeah, okay, so I found that out kind of later in life. He always loved country music, and so he kind of raised me on the classics of country.
Woo.
And he taught me, you know, he's like, you got to listen to Tammy Wynette and Johnny Cash and Merle Haggard and Waylon. And so he would play all those for me when I'd be bopping around with him, going fishing or going. He had a little place called a Ponderosa.
The Ponderosa.
So out on Lake Chico in Arkansas.
Oh, cool.
So that's really where I got my foundation of country music. Mm-hmm. And back in the day, he did have a little nightclub for live country and Western music. It was called Desperados.
Oh.
And so I'm like, how funny is that? He bought me my first guitar.
He did, huh?
He did. I was young. I think I was like 8 years old and he got me my first guitar. And
wow.
Just did so much to support me. And he's like, you got, just do your dreams and you always make Pawpaw proud. So.
Oh, that's so great. Is he still with us?
No, he passed away when I was 14. So
that must have been so hard at that
yes,
age.
Yes, yeah. it was for sure. But like, I just keep singing it for him.
So you started singing there at his place at the Ponderosa? And how old were you?
Man, I was really young. I kind of came out singing. Like, I was the only weirdo. Like, that's the running joke.
I don't think that's weird at all.
There's so many photos of me where I have, like, a hairbrush or a microphone or I got a little fake guitar that's, like, pink. And
yeah.
I just loved music. So I'm the only one in my family who
really?
Is in music.
Wow.
I have a lot of music lovers in my family. And my dad kind of is, like, musically inclined. But nobody ever really pursued it. Nobody sings or anything like that. So I was kind of like the Lone Ranger.
The Lone Ranger.
I'm going to do this thing.
With your silver bullets on your guitar. I put Dolly out for you today. I have a Funko Pop of rock star Dolly because the first song I ever heard from you was What Would Dolly Do? I always loved that song.
Oh, yay. Thank you.
And I watched that video again this morning. And you must have had a blast doing that video with all the wigs and everything.
Oh, my
God. Guys, if you haven't seen it, go to YouTube and look up Dolly Martin and What Would Dolly Do? That was so cool.
Thank you. Yeah, that wig was actually really heavy. I was like, oh, my gosh. I put it on like my neck. I can't even hold this puppy up.
It's like, what would Dolly do? How does Dolly do it?
Truly. The one that I had on was kind of ridiculous, though. Like, it had this huge bump it sort of thing on the top of my head.
Yeah.
So that's probably why. She doesn't really wear that one. So, and hers are the best. Mine were an Amazon special, so. Hers cost a lot more than mine did. But it was fun. It was fun.
Probably more than my house.
Probably.
More than this dining room table. We're going to play live music around the dining room table in just a little bit. I know you brought your guitar. I was surprised it said, Gretch, you're not a Martin. It's Tori Martin.
I have
that
a Martin
occurred to me.
That I play with a lot. I have it down in Texas. I kind of split my time, and so I was like, I'm going to leave my Martin down here, and I got this bad boy for when I'm up here.
That's
so
beautiful.
I play both.
I learned to play on a Gretsch.
Oh, awesome.
But I play Martins when I play out because I can't find anything to beat the sound. So
I love a Martin. They're great.
I do too. Now you've got a new song out and I want to spin it. And maybe you can tell us a little bit about the writing of that song and all about it. It's Lost in the Country is your new one?
That's my brand new single.
And this you wrote with
Kirsty Manna.
Kirsty
in the
Manna?
House.
And Yeehaw, Yeehaw.
Yeah.
And Bill DiLuigi.
Billy D.
Two Italians and a Texan. There you go.
Bill Dioni.
That's a dangerous combination.
It is very dangerous.
It's a deadly combination.
Yeah. We're going to spin it. You want to tell us anything about the writing of it?
And, yeah, sure. I mean, honestly, this song has evolved in so many ways. And so we're just excited to see it finally out. And kind of we're like, okay, is it going to be more bro country? Like, what is this song going to be? And it just has evolved into more kind of like neo-traditional and just had a lot of fun singing it, recording it. I recorded it with Bill Warner, which is Kirsty's husband.
Yeah.
But
Great producer.
We put a lot of work into this puppy and it truly was just kind of inspired about like getting off the grid and that feeling when it's like, oh, I can't be reached and lost in the country, but also lost in the country music. So we kind of like
double meaning.
Pay tribute to Tammy Wynette, Hank Williams. I'm like, there's so many Alabama, George Strait. We threw in some kind of like
lyric back to your
like
roots.
That.
Huh? Yeah,
yeah,
kinda
for
getting
sure.
You back to your roots. Great. Well, let's spin it. It's Lost in the Country. Tori Martin's our guest. And this is the Songwriter Connection podcast.
Get off the grid just a little. Find nowhere, then get in the middle. Get behind a guy with a hound in a truck. Bet I ain't even mad. Girl, sweeter than pie and honeysuckle. Where the boys take pride in the size of their buckles. Speed limit tractor cow in the road. Slow go, slow poke. Little white church, blue skies, red dirt. Right.
it's got to have that dead cold ending. I love it. It's more of like an anthem, you know?
Thank you. You're
lost in the country. You've got it all in there. You must have had a great time writing that.
Huh? Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Who had that idea? How was it developed? How did you approach the writing of that song?
I had that title, and I said, you know, the same thing that Tori just described. It's just not just about being lost out in the country, but it's about being lost in country music.
Yeah.
I really get claustrophobic in the country. They all think that's funny.
I get
allergies.
I like
the city.
Oh, and allergies.
Yeah. I'm allergic to cows. No kidding. I'm not.
Oh, I love
no,
a new cow.
I love cows.
Yeah, I do too.
Black Angus, Red Angus. We got
Is there really such thing as a Red Angus?
Oh, yeah.
This
yeah.
is how non-country I am.
Yeah.
Longhorns.
Herefords. Now I remember
oh,
them.
Oh, they're so cute with their little faces.
Oh, they're so cute. The one time when we were down doing a photo shoot in Texas, Tori had some land down there, uh-huh. and the Longhorns were following us around. The makeup artist was afraid. She thought we were going to get stampeded or something. I think they, and every time we would stop, they would stop. And oh then we would gosh. Walk and they would walk. It was really funny.
She was scared of the cows, but she wasn't scared of putting her elbows down on a donkey.
Yeah, he's scary.
Like, he'll kick you. He's yeah. mean. The cows are just, like, docile. They're like, you yeah. have food?
Yeah. I'll be your best friend.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what they're thinking. That's why they're following us. They're yeah. like, oh, you have treats.
Yeah.
Where's the food?
The food.
It's true. They're kind of like dogs.
Mm.
Yeah.
Tori, when did you start getting interested in the craft of songwriting?
That's a great question. You know, I actually didn't even know when I got into music at a young age that was even something available for mm-hmm. me. You know, it was kind of a different time and era when a lot of like the singers would just cut songs, which was also really great for songwriters.
Right.
But I wasn't introduced into like the craft of songwriting until about 14.
Why'd you start so late?
Well, I didn't know.
Because you didn't know.
I was like,
I think 14
oh.
is a good place to start, don't you, Kristen?
Kind of the people around me were like, you know, oh, we'll just get you the songs. You know, we'll get you the right songs.
Sure.
And yeah. I did. The first time I came to Nashville, I was 16. And wow. I cut an EP.
Mm-hmm.
It was just self-titled.
Yeah.
And it was all songs that I cut by other people. So I'm like, I still love that record and I'm proud of it and had a lot of fun doing it.
And what was that one called?
It was self-titled.
Self-titled.
So, yeah.
Tori Martin. Okay. I think you did say that. So.
you're okay.
Squirrel. Sorry.
So I love those songs so much, but it was kind of around then I was like, okay, there's more to this. I don't have to just be a chick singer. And there's nothing wrong with that. You can absolutely sing and cut people's music. I recommend it. I have songs you can cut mine. But I kind of really got into it, you know, like, especially when Taylor Swift was kind of breaking out. I was like, okay, wait. Sure. She's only like 16 years old, writing songs and singing. And that was definitely around my age bracket. So very relatable for me. And that's when I started writing and getting into songwriting. I started writing with a fella down in Texas named Billy Herzig.
Okay.
And he had a hit song with Earl Thomas Conley.
Oh,
but he
loved ETC.
He got a little burned out on Nashville. So he moved to Texas, which is still a great place to do music.
Oh, yeah, it is.
That's how we ended up meeting. I met him through the church choir. His sister was in the choir. She was like, oh, you need to meet my brother. And so that's, he's kind of a mentor in my life. And we still write to this day, but he definitely showed me the ropes. And especially, I feel like when I moved to Nashville, like it just kind of honed in on that craft even more continually, still doing that now, you know?
Yeah. So you go back and forth still pretty much?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm going to be going out on some sort of a radio tour pretty soon. So I'll probably be in the thick of it when this comes out.
When this new song comes out. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we have a music video too for Lost in the Country. I know we're going to be working on that in the next coming week. So hopefully when this drops, y'all can be watching a music video.
Lost in
the Country.
But you've got other videos out there too that are so much fun to watch.
Oh yeah. Please check out my YouTube.
Stepping in. It's really great. And
thank you.
And that was the song before this one, right? Or was it?
We released that one in Texas and filmed that music video in iconic parts of Texas, like the stockyards. And so you get to see those gorgeous longhorns we were talking about. They're so pretty. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. It was hot.
Oh.
And it'll probably be hot the next time we do this.
It probably will.
Why do we do that, man?
I have no idea. Let's film in the winter.
Yes.
We like to make ourselves sweat.
I have a friend who lives in Dallas, and he'll text me sometimes at night, and he goes, dude, it's 10:30 and it's 97 degrees. That's how I'm doing. Okay, well, crank up the AC, right?
He ain't lying. It's felt glorious the last few nights here in Nashville. Oh, yeah. I mean, 60 degrees. I'm like, are you kidding me? This is beautiful.
Yeah. Great sleeping weather last few days. Tell us about CMA Fest. What was that? This wasn't your first, was it?
Oh, no. I've been to CMA Fest plenty of times. It was cool. It was very eventful. I played a CMA Fest kickoff party.
Cool.
Yeah.
Dolly was there, right?
Oh, I wish.
No? Didn't she kick it all off?
Oh, she kicked off the off CMA Fest. She was the first act. So I was like the pre CMA thingy, you know. She was there in spirit. I sang "What Would Dolly Do?"
Did you? Good deal.
Yeah, so we had a good turnout for that. Some folks came out, but
great.
Was bobbing around. I did go to the Dolly experience, and I did go out there. I was one of the people waiting in line to go see Dolly, and that was fun. That was crazy.
So you got to meet her and talk to her?
Oh, nobody got to meet her and talk to her. Are you kidding? All the fans. Okay. Dolly!
Well, there's Dolly Funko right there.
She's right in front of me. So, hi, Dolly. Right, nice to meet you.
I don't think she can sign an autograph, but, you know.
There she can is. Play a rockin' guitar.
Do you ever wonder if she's heard "What Would Dolly Do?" You ever?
I do. I don't know if she has. I'm sure maybe... we have blasted that thing, and even, oh my goodness, it came out during COVID, and so that was kind of an interesting time to release a song, but it was already released, so we were just rocking with it, and like, well, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And her bass player actually played on that record. He had played like the 50th anniversary or something at Grand Ole Opry.
Wow.
So Gary Lunn plays on that, and he played on a few of my songs, but we're really hoping to get in there, and so I'm like, I don't know. It's definitely a lifelong dream to meet her, and she's been such an inspiration.
Oh, I bet.
In life and in my music, and that's what that song was about. So I'm like, definitely check it out if you're a Dolly lover.
Your grandpa brought you up on, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Dolly had to be in there.
Right? Good golly, Miss Dolly. She was. He loved Tammy, though.
Oh,
Tammy
did he?
Wynette. My goodness.
Tammy was the gal, huh?
That was his gal. Wow.
Amazing.
I mean, I could see why. She was absolutely beautiful.
She really was.
She had amazing songs.
Yes,
so
she did.
Great singer. So why wouldn't people love her?
I used to work at Ryman Auditorium and do the tours and things like that. And the stories we heard about Tammy were always amazing. I wish I could have met her. You know.
Me too.
There's a picture in one of the rooms when we did the tours. There's a Women of Country room. I don't know if there still is, but there used to be. And they'd have all the pictures of most of the ladies. And there was a picture of her holding a guitar writing with her blonde hair pulled back. And when you first look at her, and I used to always tell people on the tour, do you know who this is? And they go, no, yes. And it was Tammy.
Wow.
Just a beautiful picture of her that I'd never seen before. So. Yeah.
And they didn't recognize her?
No.
Wow.
But she really was beautiful.
She
was the first lady.
That's right. What an honor.
The president, first lady, George and Tammy. Yeah.
Love it.
Did you see their film? The whole making of that Tammy and George thing?
Wasn't I didn't see the making of it, but I watched the series.
Yeah, that's like the series as well.
Oh, yes.
They were amazing, weren't they?
Oh, they killed that.
They did.
I was like blown away, but my gosh, what a tragic story. I mean,
it really
was. Yeah, really was all around.
Yeah, absolutely.
Goodness. I was like, wow, this is a train wreck. I'm watching a train wreck, like, unravel.
To see that about one of the people that you idolized, that's hard. It's tough.
To see the kind of some of the story behind it, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Nobody's perfect,
Nobody is perfect.
She got to accomplish her dream, so yes, I'm like, it was a shorter life, but she got to do what she wanted and loved.
And hung on to her license. She was a beautician, and she always made sure the license was up to date.
I didn't know that.
In case the music thing didn't work out, you know.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think it was okay for her, but that's cool. I wonder if she did her own, like, bouffant hair, like that. Hey, if you got a license, I'd be like, I don't need y'all.
It's kind of hard to do your own hair, isn't it? I don't know.
It really is.
I wouldn't know. Yeah.
No offense.
I have no hair, so and very little hair.
You do the wig thing like Dolly, right?
I could, yeah.
I'm just playing.
I just can't afford them.
No, I'm sorry. Amazon.
Amazon. That's right. That's right.
Oh, my gosh.
You do a little interior decorating, I understand, too.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's been a minute since I've had the opportunity to do some, but especially during COVID, that unique time, I was able to do quite a few projects, Airbnbs and theme them, decorate them.
Cool.
And I had a blast doing that, especially during that time when everybody was parked. I'm like, I kind of got to have like another creative outlet.
Yes.
And it was awesome. I had so much fun doing that.
Yeah.
And I still love to do it. I'm like, ugh, that detailed eye, it's a blessing and a curse. Like, I notice everything.
Are you a perfectionist?
For sure.
For sure. How does that affect your writing? Because I've written with some perfectionists, and I would say, and I'm kind of a perfectionist myself, but you know what I found recently, and tell me if this is the case with you. I've been telling myself, you know what, let's write it. We'll rewrite it later.
I like that.
Let's not rewrite now. Let's write the song. Then we'll rewrite. Because, you know, if we get caught up and you go, it's just not good enough. It's not good enough. So lately I've been saying that going into the session. Tell you what, let's just write the song.
I think it messes with your creativity if you
you're right, if you stop
the flow. Mm-hmm. You know, you just have to know when to let yourself roll and let somebody else roll and don't judge it.
And I've noticed that a lot writing with younger artists like that too. And I can appreciate that. Being a perfectionist, and that's great, but you don't always get it on the first time, do you?
No,
they always say the greatest songs are rewritten, right?
Oh yeah.
I don't think enough people rewrite, but we do.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. You know, even if it's that day, you know, you finish it up, and you start reading it through, and you go, "Wow, this line right here, I think we can do better."
Yeah, dial in a little more.
That. Yeah, dial in. You know. Michael Saletta, who's been on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, one of the things he'll do is, can we just put this in as a placeholder? Mm. And he'll put like XXX and then whatever that line was.
Right.
And we know that we could probably do better, but let's go on, you know.
Yeah. So. I will say for me, I feel like I definitely am a perfectionist, but for songwriting, for some reason, that's like my one place that I don't carry that.
She doesn't. That's true.
I'm like, let's just roll it out. I'm like, it doesn't have to be perfect. And I like quirky, weird, fun lyrics. And it's like when people are like, what the heck does that mean? I'm like, whatever you want it to mean, baby. Like,
what does it mean to you?
So I don't know. I feel kind of free in the room. It's like, it doesn't have to be perfect. And like Kirstie said, we do. We will go back and find fine tooth comb.
Yeah.
That's so I'm like, I love it. It's fun in the writing room.
Now, I've always heard that... Your favorite song is the one you last wrote.
Oh,
do you
yeah.
have one right now that you're just so proud of that you wrote?
That
you can maybe share with us? There's so many. So many songs, so little time.
Man, I mean, I feel like that's a little bit different. You're saying like one that you're proud of. It's like, I'm proud of all my songs. So
sure
I'm like,
are.
I love all my, but they're my little song babies.
Right now, what's your favorite?
What's released or unreleased?
And it might be one that is unreleased. I don't know.
I mean, I definitely have an unreleased song that we're all really excited about right now. I'm like, I can't give away too many details.
No.
She's my baby down there, but hopefully she'll be released very, very soon. I'm like, I'm still in the studio wrapping it up a little bit, but...
Have you played it out at all? You got any
I did play it out one time. I played out in Waterloo. Oh, yeah. And it was so much fun to sing live, but it's just kind of epic, you know, like Western and epic and I don't know, kind of, I like the anthems too, but.
Now, you know, I'm going to ask you to play it, but you probably can't.
I can't play that one, but I can when it releases.
I understand. Well, hopefully later in the year we'll be looking for it. Can you tell us the name?
No.
Not even the name.
No.
The until, mystery that is.
Until it comes Tori out. Morgan. I'm like, I'm looking over at my team. No.
No, I get it. Yeah.
My lips are sealed.
There's the name of the song, folks. My lips are sealed.
The re-release.
No, we'll just have to watch for it. That's all. How about another one, though, before we go into a break? Can you maybe pick up that song at Gretsch and play us a song that you wrote and tell us all about it?
Sure.
We're all about that story behind this.
Sure. I'm going to play one that I wrote with Kirstie Manna.
I know her.
This is an ongoing theme. And Bill DeLuigi. He's actually
one of my
label mates. He's signed as a writer, but we've kind of gotten into a groove getting in the room together. We all kind of like, we just pump them out, man.
Good.
They just flow out of us. Like, there's no weird lyric. There's no weird idea. We're just going to write that thing down.
I love it. When you find that kind of a combination, which just works.
It's the best.
You got to keep working it. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It must be a fun room. Yeah.
For sure. So we have this weird idea and... You know, everybody wants to be famous these days, and TikTok is all the craze for the moment. So we were like, let's write a song about that, you know?
Yeah.
Even if it's like for 5 seconds doing something absolutely stupid, everybody is trying to get that fame. So we wrote this song. It's called Famous for No Good Reason. He was just a humble backwoods kid, another radar off the grid till the Miller High Life Pyramid planted him in the paper. Granny starved herself for a week, took her two Big Techs to compete, 72 ounces of Lone Star beef, she's still the record breaker. Gotta love that local flavor, getting famous for no good reason. For no good reason, plumbing the letter of hometown cheddar, hotter than a basket on a catfish platter. Famous for no good reason. Famous for no good reason. Well, them Cheatham twins went bikini topping, TikTok in their five finger shopping, lifting cuffs when the cameras caught them. Now it's jumpsuits. The slammer, county jailhouse glamour, getting famous for no good reason. Famous for no good reason. Come in the letter of hometown chatter, hotter than a basket on a catfish platter. Famous for no good reason. We got Beyonce, Kim K, and the royal family beat. We don't bother to drop a dollar on them gossip magazines. Getting famous for no good reason. Oh, getting famous for no good reason. Famous for no good reason. Fish platter, don't like cheese whiz on Ritz crackers. Might not care, but to us it matters. Famous for no, famous for no, famous for no good reason. Famous for no good reason.
You tell him, Tori. I love it. And the first thing I thought about was Kim Kardashian.
Oh, good, good.
Because every time I see her, I go, why is she famous? Really? And I, you know, maybe it's the age I'm at, but it's like, that's so funny. Famous for no good reason. That's really a great song.
Thank you.
Hotter than a catfish.
Hotter than Tabasco on a catfish platter.
That's hot.
Thank you. You know what's funny? I'm like, so that song was kind of like intertwined. It was a little bit about like all the fame and social media. But yeah. Kind of like there's no hot goss like the hot goss in your small town. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of like what we were talking about too. Like we got them all beat. I'm like, because the small town's going to be talking about all the crazy crap you're doing. And the line about the Tabasco, there's actually a little place, a restaurant, a catfish restaurant in my hometown called David Beard's. And so that's where I was kind of like getting into with that lyric when we were writing. Mm-hmm. I'm like, ooh, hotter than Tabasco on a catfish platter.
That's brilliant. That's beautiful. I love lines like that in music.
Oh, so fun.
That's some songwriting right there. Absolutely stuff. So you like the hot stuff or no?
You put
that stuff on everything, as they say.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I had to dial it back a little bit these days. You know, I'm like heartburn. I'm just kidding.
No, I hear you. No, I've been there. Absolutely. We're going to take a little break. Let's pay some bills, and we'll be back with Tori Martin on the Songwriter Connection.
That was cool.
You're listening to the Songwriter Connection with Dave Linehan. Find us on Facebook and YouTube at the Songwriter Connection Podcast. And find Dave at thedaveconnection.com. Now back to the show with your host, Dave Linehan.
Oh, she's hotter than Tabasco sauce on a Catfish Platter. Our guest is Tori Martin. Thanks for joining us in the Songwriter Connection podcast and for making us one of the most the fastest growing music podcast out there right now. We were just nominated for an Elite Music Award for Best Music Podcast. So we're proud of that.
Congratulations.
It'd be really cool if we went, but if not, to be nominated is so cool. And we're approaching 1 million streams worldwide. Thanks for making that happen as well. So Tori Martin is our guest, and she's sharing some songs and stories. You got the stories, man. I'll tell you. Between here in Texas. You see, you first came here when you were 16?
Yes. That was the first time I ever came over this way.
So your parents drove you because they knew you had an interest in music, or how'd that come about?
It kind of was like a rolling thing, you know, like I met Billy Herzig, and then at that same church, I ended up meeting like a Grammy award winning producer. And Ooh. So he started working with me.
Nice.
And that's who I did that project with. His name is Chuck Ebert. And so that's really kind of how that happened for me and why I came to Nashville. And boy, am I glad that I did.
Because were you hooked right away?
I had stars in my eyes, and I still do.
Yeah, you still do.
I love this town.
That's great. I do, too. We've been here coming up on 11 years now.
That's awesome.
I wish I could have got here when I was a lot younger, but I don't think I would have appreciated it as much. My first trip here was way back in the radio days. I started working in country music in 1980.
Wow.
And so my first trip, and that was during the urban cowboy days.
Love it.
And I remember interviewing Mickey Gilley and Johnny Lee. They were the hottest names because of that movie and everything. I'm somebody. I was like 22 years old then.
How cool green
as can be. But I learned to love country music. And you did right from the start. So
right from the start. Yeah, I feel that way sometimes too. I'm like, man, I wish I could have got here sooner. But I don't know. I'm like, the way... just life. Things play out the way they're supposed to. And
yeah, absolutely. That's what I was going to say.
And you said, I may not have appreciated it as much. I'm like, really feel like I'm headed into my right time, my right season. So.
I know I wouldn't have been ready for it, but you were.
I was like, oh, I would have moved that day. Just kidding. I was like, see y'all. Bye.
When you finally did the move, I'm sure there was a big decision, huh?
Coming
from where you grew up. And
I wanted to. I'm like, you know, the reason I didn't at that age was my parents at the time, they were like, we don't want to just send you up there by yourself.
Yeah.
I have a huge family, so they weren't. Big. I have like 10 siblings. So.
Do you really?
Yes.
Wow. Where were you on that?
I'm kind of in the middle. One of the older siblings, but not the oldest.
And none of them knew music?
No.
Okay, well, I interrupted your story.
No, you're fine. But they were like, you know, they didn't want to ship me up here by myself. Obviously, I was quite young. And they're like, we're going to go back to Texas. And we're gonna tour this project. And we're going to put a song out to Texas radio. And cool. So that's really what they wanted me to do. They wanted me to build a fan base down there. And I definitely did.
Yes.
Had some of those things going. And that's when I went on to American Idol when I was 19.
Now, I didn't know that about you. You did the Idol.
Yes, I did. They, I was having a little bit of success on the Texas charts, and somebody was a scout, and they reached out to me, and they were like, come do a private audition, and I was like, okay. So I went, it was actually in New Orleans. That was the closest place.
No kidding.
So I went through and did all that, and got the golden ticket. And
you got the golden ticket?
Met Keith Urban and Harry Connick Jr., and it was Jennifer Lopez, which Kirstie loves J-Lo.
Love
J-Lo. So I did all that fun stuff, and
what kind of an experience was that?
Crazy.
So you went right to Hollywood. You got the golden ticket, right?
Yes. It's not quite like as
videoed.
You're not like, we're hopping on a bus.
Next stop, Hollywood.
Straight to Hollywood.
Yes.
They make it look like that on the TV show, and everybody's off with their golden tickets. It's like, no, not quite. It was a few months after that, so I think it was hot. It was August when I went to NOLA and got the golden ticket, and we had a it was crazy.
What did you sing on that show?
I actually sang.
What was your audition?
This makes me really proud, but I sang a song that actually wasn't on their roster, and they had to get it added. It was Chris Stapleton before he blew up. What are you listening to?
I saw a video of you doing that today.
Yep. And it actually wasn't on there. They went and got it added. And what was funny, after I sang that in my audition, people started singing it. I was like, on the show, I'm like,
awesome.
I started that trend.
That was me.
And it was right before he blew up. So I'm like, Chris, come on.
Oh, see?
Soul Brother. I'm like, maybe there's a connection there too. But oh, and so then everybody was singing, What Are You Listening To? But I remember doing that one a cappella.
That's cool.
I just love that song because... I don't know. It spoke to me.
Mm.
It was cool. It's country music, but kind of soulful. And so I kind of wanted to show them like...
Your range.
My range, my vocal ability.
Yeah. Not everybody's blessed with that kind of range.
No. Yeah.
That's a talent.
I just have to say about Tori as a singer. Mm-hmm. I remember when Bill first recorded her and he said, you got to come and hear this because this girl's voice just like jumps out of the speakers.
Yeah.
And Tori is just such a natural singer. And she can do something that a lot of singers can't do. She is a great backup singer. She has a really great ear to hear parts. And a lot of people that sing lead do not have that ability, you know, because that I kind of think singing backup's kind of a gift. You know,
I agree with
it's
you.
So much fun.
I'll go back
some
to,
are
I'll
born
go back
with that ability
corner.
To naturally hear that harmony and just add that in.
Yeah.
And I bet a lot of that came from church, the church choirs and things.
I would say yes. Yeah. That definitely did.
But to a certain extent, you're born with it. But I mean, you're born with that ear.
Yes.
But you hone it there. You honed it there, I'll imagine.
That and piano. I started taking piano lessons when I think I was about 13 years old.
So that was your first lesson? Your first instrument was piano?
Piano. And then I learned guitar.
Oh, no.
I tried learning guitar first, and I just wasn't picking it up naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, well, I want to play piano and learn music theory, and I wanted to know a little bit more. I didn't want to just be a singer and not have any knowledge. So I did do a lot of that when I was younger. And
yeah.
And I definitely think learning piano helps so much with harmonies, because I'm like, when you're playing, you're just hearing majority of it all the time anyway. So I'm like, that really helped me kind of hone in.
It helps you visualize it, doesn't it?
On it, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For sure. I love it.
It's
but
cool.
Yeah, I met Kirstie and Bill in kind of a really weird, serendipitous way. I'm like, one time I was up here, I think I was 18, and she was having a songwriter camp, and I was told about it a little too late, but I was able to stop by when they were ending the camp. They were doing like a writer's round, so I got to stop in and hear Kirstie play and a few of the girls in the camp, and I was like, oh my goodness, I'm like, I wish I could meet her. If only she could meet me and we could work together. And like years down the road, then I moved to Nashville and I went to like a spring mixer thing and I threw my business card in a fishbowl.
I know you're talking about the Global Songwriters Connection,
yep, that's
which is
where,
a great organization.
That's where
organization.
I went. Yeah. So I won. Everybody was confused about what I won. They were like, yay, you won a keyboard. Like, you got a guitar. I was like, awesome. So I'm like, so I remember emailing Bill before I even met him and I'm like,
yeah.
So did I get a keyboard? Like, I'm really confused. And it was a demo.
Ah.
A keyboard or like a guitar demo.
Okay.
Vocal. But everybody thought I won an instrument. I was like, yeah. Like, but I ended up doing a demo and meeting them.
And that's where it was.
And the rest
demo.
Is history. And that's how it all happened.
Bestest of friends ever since.
That's right.
That's good.
You know, like when she tells it about Songwriter Girl, that event. We were doing it at Two Old Hippies. They have that real cool venue.
I loved
there.
That place. I'm so sad it's gone.
I know.
That's a cool place.
But it's so funny because I met so many girls, you know, uh-huh. Of course, through that whole thing I did.
Mm.
And, you know, she's probably standing there and I just didn't even get to meet her. You know, just like like how time, like we said before, you know, time just takes care of things.
It does.
You know, life, you do what you're supposed to do in it. And if it works out, that's the way it's supposed to work out, you know?
Mm.
It's really serendipitous, really.
It truly is.
You know?
It was meant to happen.
It lines up when meant to be, you know?
Tell us a little bit about the record label and Lucky Sky, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And how that all came together. And you've been doing that for how long now?
Lucky Sky came together after I started working with Bill and Kirstie.
Uh-huh.
We were just kind of putting our heads together. We're like, all right, we want to do this thing. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm like, if they're not going to let me have a seat at the table, we're going to make our own table. And that's
kind of
where we went with it.
Yeah.
And so we formed that in 2020, the wonderful COVID year.
Uh-huh.
And I think like our official launch was in like September mm-hmm. of that year. Mm-hmm. We had like a fun like release party. I had a record out at that time that I did with Bill Warner. And it was called Lucky. So we have a lot of
I remember
luck.
The Lucky. I remember that song.
A lot of lady luck.
So there was a connection. I was going to ask if there was between the label name and the song.
Yeah. It's where great artists can soar. Like music flies, great artists soar. That's kind of like one of our taglines for Lucky Sky. But so
I love
we
it.
Just wanted to pave our own way and do our own thing. And we signed Bill DiLuigi. As a writer, he's a great writer, and I know
he really
he's
is.
Got
he's
a
been
lot.
On this show, and he's just a great guy.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time for him.
I'm sure.
Until he gets a big old number one.
and he writes with everybody.
Oh, my goodness.
It seems like everybody on this podcast has written a song.
He's a writing machine.
Yeah.
Well, really I have to say, you know, it's like we, you know, all of us that live in Nashville, and, you know, everybody's doing different things, but we just wanted to build our own house, you know, just like a lot of people do, and so we... When it came time, we were going to sign a writer. I said, "We've got to sign this person because he, you know, has a great work ethic that was really important to all of us. His philosophy. We all have the same philosophy of life, and that's an important thing too. I mean, that I can say about being a songwriter is, as you grow up in Nashville, so to speak, you have to find the people that get you, and they get you. You get each other." Because it has to be, to me, you know, writing is so philosophical in a sense. You know, you can't, I remember writing with people that would show up hungover. And it was like, I can't deal with this. You know, I could never deal with that because I was so serious about it. She's very serious. Yeah. Bill D's very serious. So, you know, that's how we all really mesh. And we're all weirdos. We really are.
But in
there,
a good
I said
way.
It. I've admitted it on camera and on tape.
But in a good way.
We and I are think, weird.
I think so many of us creatives are. We're strange people.
Quirky.
Quirky people. We make people. Stuff up.
That's true.
That's what we do.
We're all a little insane. It's all right.
What kind of a writing schedule do you keep or do you these days?
It's a little bit different right now since I kind of have songs coming out.
Yeah.
But I'm like, when I'm here, I do still mix in because I am signed. I'm like kind of the flagship artist for the label, but also I'm signed as a songwriter as well. So I'm like, I don't write just for me. I do spend my time writing for other artists or writing with other artists or whoever, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, it just kind of depends. But we're gearing up for me to be playing shows and a
That's
new
good.
Project.
Well,
so a
imagine
little different
here we
space.
Are in August and you probably have a very busy summer schedule.
Huh? Yeah, we're hitting the road for radio tour and stuff like that. There's some gigs kind of in the works, some like kind of opener opportunities. So I'm really excited.
Ooh,
like
for big names?
Yes. I'm like, I can't really talk about it, you know, until they're nailed down all the way.
No, I get
but
it. I get it.
Yes, I'm excited about that. I got a new person kind of working on some things like that for me. So
you do that and you build not only your fan base, but your network as you go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah.
I'm very excited and I think next year is going to be even bigger. So I'm like, I'm pumped. 2025, look out.
2025, watch out. That's right. Well, let's do another song.
Yeah.
Another song. Huh?
That's funny. I was going to say 4 is my lucky number. That was always my number in sports.
Really?
4s are lucky
for me. What
kind
of sports did you play?
I played volleyball, softball, and track. I was a sprinter, track and field.
No
so
kidding. Wow.
I did the 100, the 200, and then I did the 2 relays. I was the anchor, so I was a fast girl.
Wow.
I like to run fast.
Fast girl. Right.
Yes.
Pretty awesome. Good. Well, I imagine there's that competitive side to you too, huh?
Oh, 1,000%.
Still, to this day, huh? Yeah. Well, tell us about this next song and... set it up for you and for us, if you will, and tell us about the writing.
Sure. I'm going to play one that did really well. You talked about it. Went to Billboard and she got to number 42 is my first song to do that, which was huge. We were very excited about that. I wrote this one with Kirstie Manna.
Nice.
but Lynn Wilbanks. So she's another female songwriter. She's an amazing writer. And so it just kind of was like female power in the room that day. So we always write a really good song. So I'm like, I've got some good ones with them in the can too.
Awesome.
But Lynn had this idea for Lucky and was kind of like thinking about it with me, you know, like you're kind of rolling the dice, taking a chance, but getting like lucky in love, lucky in life, lucky in music. And so that's what this is about. And just inspiring people, You never know.
And a great video, too.
Which gotta roll the dice, because you might get lucky.
You might get lucky. Yes, I was watching this video this morning.
Oh, yay. Thank you.
Looking forward to hearing you do it live. It's Tori Martin, Songwriter Connection Podcast.
Could be L.A., Cali, riding in a rose, chopping off the limb on Rodeo, L.A.'s the inner, letting the good times roll.
Hey!
N.Y.C., I'll la-ti-da, killing them boys with my southern drawl. Heartbreak, been there, I've done it. Good night, handshake, cheap drink, thanks for nothing. I sure get rich, baby, on cloud nine, like diamonds and gold, you make me shine. And baby, your kiss is some kind of sign. I could be L.A. Cali, riding in a rose, chopping off the limb on Rodeo.
Hey!
N.Y.C., I'll la-ti-da, killing them boys with my southern drawl. But baby, what I really, really want to do is be wrapped up in love. I'm not that lucky with you. Lucky, lucky, this boy is so funny.
Lucky, lucky,
tastes like honey.
Lucky, lucky,
boy, I got lucky with you.
I didn't know there was going to be audience participation.
I love it. I got background vocalists right here with me.
The BGBs.
Well, if anybody likes to audience participate, it's you. And me. I'm all about it.
I am too. That's going to be fun to play out, huh?
Oh, it's so much fun.
All shouting that back at you.
Oh, yeah. It never gets old. I played out in Fort Worth earlier this year and had some fans that were kind of out. I was playing acoustic.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. They were nutso. They were going crazy. They're like, hey. And I love it. I'm like, yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. That's payday right
all
there.
All of that.
Yeah. Tell us about your stage show, your band, everything. Tell us what it's all about.
Yeah. I'm like, it kind of mixes up a little bit depending on who is available, because some of my guys are in another band. I got two guys that sometimes play with me. They're in a band called Levon. That's Ryan Holiday and Jake Singleton. My right-hand man, I always call him that, is Matt Singleton. He's kind of like a utility guy. Like, he can play, oh my gosh, he can play every instrument imaginable. But he plays acoustic primarily, sometimes electric for me.
Wow. I hate him.
gorgeous voice.
So then hate him more.
His background vocals are amazing, and I use him a lot on my recordings as well. Like, that's how great. Tight our vocals have become. He just really blends well with me.
Awesome.
And then, of course, when we have him and Jake, they're brothers.
Oh.
So they have that, like, blood
harmony.
Blood harm family thing that you can't buy and you can't really make happen.
No.
So they sound amazing when they're together.
Wow.
But I don't always get them together. So sometimes I have a guy named Evan Hull play lead for me. And mm-hmm. his dad actually is a drummer for me. His name's Andy Hull, and he's a great drummer. Oh, my mm-hmm. goodness. So pro. Sometimes I have a guy named Brian Zach sub in for me. And wow. We also play with Stim. So there's a lot of fun stuff, funky things in production that...
Are you high energy on stage? You run into...
Oh, yes.
Picking up an instrument and play?
Yeah, I'll play guitar. And yes, I'm like, if I have a big enough stage, for sure, I like to move around. And I have a lot of high energy numbers. I got to bring the heat, you know?
You got to bring the heat. Right. Well, you got to entertain, and I'm sure you do.
That's right. Yeah. Yes, love to do it.
Are there any live videos of you out there? On YouTube or anywhere?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm like, I have quite Searching. A few out there. You mm-hmm. can just go to my YouTube and check it out. Great. I have YouTube shorts too, but
awesome.
Yeah, I'm like, we've done some fun, like, acoustic versions of songs if you want to check them out. Mm-hmm. I did one for, like, Kmart when the Kmart closed, and Lucky, What Would Dolly Do? There's definitely a lot, so for sure. And obviously, like, on socials, Instagram, TikTok, I post some live
Look for
clips.
And T-O-R-I.
Right? That's right, Tori Martin. And my handles on social media is The Tori Martin.
The Tori.
And my website is thetorimartin.com. So that helps.
thetori.com. Okay, good. Fantastic. Well, we're very lucky that you joined us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Like I say, it's good to finally get to meet you. I've heard so much about you.
Likewise.
Even more amazing in person.
Oh, you're sweet.
Thank you so much. And maybe we'll do this again. All the best with the shows this summer and with that new song you keep in secret. You're going to have to tell me when it's ready. Maybe we'll do this again, okay?
We'll let you know. Thank you. I really appreciate you.
Thank you. And Christy, thank you. Always good to see you.
Thank you, Dave.
You know what?
For letting me sit in.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to have you.
And yap.
We hope you enjoyed this intimate glimpse into the world of songwriting and found inspiration in the stories shared by our talented guests. Remember, the magic of music lies not only in the notes and chords, but in the emotions and experiences woven into every lyric. Until next time, keep listening, keep creating, and keep the melodies alive.
This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.